seat. Take your Bibles. Take your Bibles. Go to Psalms. Have a seat. Have a seat. Have a seat. Did I show you? There it is. There's a picture of my grandbaby right there. If I showed you a picture of me, you wouldn't go, aww. Right? There it is right there. And so, if it was my baby picture, you would go, yuck. And every grandfather and grandmother like to see what their grandchildren are going to call them. And usually, whatever comes out of their mouth first, that sticks. I'm doing it opposite. I'm going to tell him what he's going to call me. And I've been known as Brother Bob for a long time. That's when people call me being youth pastor, to separate my father and I, so they didn't say Brother Gray. And, you know, all three of us turn around and look, and my sisters look when they say Brother Gray. And so so they call me Brother Bob. So I thought, when I become a grandfather, forget the grandfather, pop, pop, paw, paw, things of that. I'm called Grand Bob. That's my handle. That's my moniker, and Grand Bob, and so GB for short, and I'm going to start my own clothing line for grandfathers, and they're going to be the 70 suits with the wide collars, and so we'll be okay. So I'm glad to be in Yankee land. I got to tell you that the further south you get and the further east you get in the south, they talk with these long, elongated words, and they have a hard time getting them out. Up here, you get right down. You get right down to business. Amen. What'd you say? Praise God. And that's how it goes. So anyway, Psalms chapter 32. Psalms chapter 32. And of course, it's good to be here with my good friend, Brother Tony. And what a wonderful individual. And I better shut up because he has the mic next. And so Psalms chapter 32. I was preaching in Panama in February, and a friend of mine said, I can't make a youth camp meeting. Would you go? And I said, yeah, I'll go. And so I went to Santiago. Nobody speaks English in Santiago. Right. Nobody speaks English. It is like from Panama City, you just keep driving. And so the guy dropped me off at the hotel, and he said, Brother Gray, you'll be fine. There's a restaurant down here. You just go and order and get you something, and it's all ready to take care of you. Just, you'll be okay. Usually when you go to a Spanish, somebody knows English. Somebody there knows a little bit of English. Nobody. Nobody. Every time you talk to them, they just smile at you like that. And so finally, I was just like, good night. What am I going to do? So I went to the restaurant, sat down, and the menu was right there. And so I pointed to something, and they came out with fries. And I was like, that's not what I wanted. I pointed to something else that came off the bowl of chili. And I was like, that's not what I want. And so they can't speak English, but they have internet. Figure that one out. So I got on my phone and put my headset in, and I Skyped back to the house. And Jordan and Kelly were there at the kitchen table. And Jordan took 2 years of Spanish in high school. And I said, Jordan, I have to order. I don't know what's going on. You have to help me. So I have my earbuds in, and I'm watching him on Skype. And he's looking at me. He said, Dad, here's what you do. What do you want? And I told him what I wanted. He said, okay, here's how you say it. So he started teaching me the phrase to say what I want. Well, I have my earbuds in. I'm looking. The restaurant's full. And so the more I'm saying this, the more these people are laughing, and the louder I get. You know how when you have your earbuds in and you're singing, that you're singing louder than what you realize you're singing? And so finally, the Spanish lady walked up and put her hand on my shoulder, old, old grandmotherly type lady, and just sort of patted me, and everybody's laughing. And I said, Jordan, what am I saying? He said, I'm telling you to say, I want my mommy. And I want my mommy. And okay, I'm going to get you, amen. You're going to need your mama, amen. Yo quiero, oh, I was so stuck on the quiero that I couldn't get. Quiero, right, Carol? Quiero, okay, we'll stop. Psalms 32, verse number 1. Psalms 32 and verse number 1. And, you know, I love preaching at night. I love preaching, period. But I tell you what I really love is it's always something special during the day when you can take God's word and help people with their Christian life. And I don't want to give you a skill today. It's every pastor's desire, should be, that everyone leaving should love Christ more. If you could ever break through and touch the hem of Christ's garment and know that relationship with Jesus Christ on a personal, intimate level, you will never be the same. And you will not be affected by people around you and things around you. So let's take the Bible. Let me talk to you this morning, preach to you. Psalms chapter 32 and verse number 1. And let's all stand if you don't mind. Psalms chapter 32 and verse number 1. Get ready to use your Bible. We're going to be using our Bible. I hate to do that to you in church, but we're going to be using our Bibles to get ready to turn to some passages here. Psalms chapter 32 verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Isn't that lovely? Transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. I was reading a book the other day, and in the book the author gave an illustration. And he said this, the man walked down to the seashore and he saw out there a beautiful sailboat, and the sail was up and the boat was there. Wind was blowing and just beautiful. The sail had captured the wind, but the boat wasn't going anywhere. And it was kind of odd to the gentleman passing by. And so he looked at the man and he said, the wind's blowing, the sails are up, beautiful boat, beautiful day. Sail has captured the wind, but the boat's not going anywhere. What is going on? And the seaman looked at him and said, you know, it's anchored. That's why it's not going anywhere. And sometimes your Christian life can look like it should be sailing along. But you know what it just could be? It just could be anchored underneath to where we just this morning, let's cut that anchor in this area of the Christian life. I promise you with this, if you're looking to go forward in your Christian life, let me give you a little bit of what God says in His Word, and let's just get on down the road and let's serve the Lord Jesus Christ and let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask for your help right now. And Lord, on purpose, I kind of didn't give my title because I want to get into the sermon. And Lord, I ask for your help. I ask for me, if you'll allow me just to be a John the Baptist this morning to kind of prepare the way, set the tone, and prepare the hearts for Brother Tony coming afterwards. And Lord, I ask as you did last night and as you did on Sunday with my dear brother, Lord, I ask that you continue to work in our hearts. Lord, it's a work in progress. It is a work that we do not understand why you do what you do, but God, you do. It is no accident that the people who are here this morning and the sermons that will be preached this morning is all within your plan for our lives. Lord, it's not a wasted truth because it never is when you open your word. Lord, I pray that you bless now. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Maybe see it. If there's one thing I am sure of, and that is this, that Bob Gray II is a sinner. And before you agree too much, if there's one thing I am sure of, I am sure that everyone in this auditorium is a sinner. When I decided I was going to go full bore for Jesus Christ and I decided that I wanted to get my life back on track, my youth pastor sat down and he said, Bob, several things that you need to do daily in your Christian life. But he said that probably one of the most important things that you need to do daily in your Christian life is you need to be the kind of Christian that you pray. But when you pray, what you need to be is the kind of Christian that you daily have a cleansing of your sins. Amen. And get rid of them. Yeah. Amen. So he set me on a path that every day, and I still do the practice today, is where I take a pen and I take a piece of paper and I sit down and I start listing my transgressions and my sins and I list them out. Then I take that list and I put it before the Lord and I say, Lord, here is what I have done. And Lord, I really want you to forgive me. And I go on a verse, if you don't mind, I read several verses before I ever list those sins to kind of get my heart in tune with what God's Word says. And I want to give you the list this morning just by way of introduction. Take your Bibles and we're going to look at some things. Go to Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2. If you want to cut the anchor in your life and you really want to experience a freedom in who you are, then you'll never do that until you become honest about who you are with your transgressions and your sins. Look at Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2. You got it? Here we go. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not what? Hear. Now, understand this, that when I read this, and for years I've gone down these set of verses, and my first mindset I'm trying to get into is this, that the reason there is a separation between God and I, and the reason I don't feel as close to God as I need to feel is because of my humanity, because I am a sinner. Now, I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13. And in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13, it says this, he that covereth his sins shall not what? Prosper. But whoso confesseth and what? Forsaketh, them shall have what? Mercy. First thing I say is, God, I want to be close to you. I know I cannot be close to you if I have these sins in my life. Then when I go to Proverbs 28, 13, I know this, I'll never prosper. I'll never be the kind of husband I need to be. I'll never be the kind of father I need to be. I'll never be the kind of grandbob that I need to be or pastor if I have any iniquity on the inside of me. So my prayer is, God, I want to be close to you. God, I want to prosper. God, I need your mercy. Now, just for the sake of tucking in the back of who you are, verse number 13, it's one thing to confess. It's a whole nother thing to forsake. How many times have we come to God on Monday and say, God, I need your forgiveness for this, only to come back on Tuesday and say, God, I hate to tell you this, I need some more help with this one thing. Only to come back on Wednesday and say, God, I know I asked you to forgive me of it on Monday and Tuesday, but I'm back in trouble on Wednesday. And y'all straighten up your halo because you're looking at me like I'm the only guy that ever has experienced this. If you are alive and you're sitting here, everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about right now. So to confess and to forsake, those are two different ball games, and we're going to come back to that. Psalms 103 and verse number 8. If you'll go there, Psalms 103 and verse number 8. If there is a powerful set of verses to me that really set the tone for how I love the fact that God looks at me. Psalms 103, verse 8. So in my mind, and you may have a separate set of verses you go through, but the Word of God is quick and the Word of God is powerful, and it'll get down into who you are.
Amen.
I want to know that God and I are very close.
Amen.
I want His mercy. I want to prosper. I want to forsake. Look at Psalms 103, verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Listen to these words. Slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will He keep His anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. And somebody better say praise God right there. Nor reward us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear them. As far as the east is from the west, so far He removed our transgressions from us. Like a what? Father pitieth His children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. I love verse 14. For He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. God gets it that we're human. So here we are, and we know, I don't want to be separated from God.
Right.
I want to be close to God.
Right.
I want to know God and I are very, very close. I want mercy. I want to forsake. I want to get rid of. I want to prosper. I want to know that God knows that I'm dust, and He remembers. He remembers that I'm human. Now I want you to go to Psalms 51, verse number 3. These are just verses that I go through, and I want God's Word to condition me. I don't want anyone else to condition me about me. I want God to condition me. Look at Psalms 51, verse number 3. Look at it in verse number 4. And I'm about done having to make you work this morning with your Bible. And Psalms 51, verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Then I must realize who I've really sinned against. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Look at this, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You know what I want God to know? God, I did the sin. I'm willing to take the consequence. God, whatever you deem necessary to judge me because of how I've lived, I'm ready to accept those consequences. You and I do not understand how important and powerful it is for you and I to take seriously our sins. And I really, really believe that the average Christian doesn't take seriously their transgressions against an almighty God. I want you to go to 1 John 1, 9. This is the verse I end up with before I start down this path. Look at 1 John 1, 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, here we have verses that condition us. We have verses here that remind us. But if you're not careful, the time we spend in personal confession of sin and asking for forgiveness has become so ritualistic.
Amen.
And it has become so quick that we are not even taking the time to come to grips with the ugliness of what we have become when we do wrong. We live in such a day and time to where if we don't like a text message, we delete it. If we don't like an email, it's just a simple wipe of a finger. If we want to get rid of an entire file on our computer, it's the touch of a button. And that's what we have reduced the time that we spend asking the Lord in forgiveness. That's how it's become. Oh God, will you just forgive me of this? And it really has become a very flippant attitude about sin. And it's almost like when we get down to the point of asking for forgiveness of sin. Okay, God, I lied, and God, I hated, and God, I did this, and I did this, and I'm not going any further into your sins. And God, I did this, and God, okay, God, will you forgive me? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And then that's how we confess our sins. No wonder we can't forsake.
Amen.
No wonder there's no depth. No wonder we get nothing out of God. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, Christians have taken, and the reason you're not experienced victory and you're still tied to that anchor is because who you are subpar, the depravity of who you are, what you have become, you have not addressed and you have so flippantly just passed by. Let me tell you something. It took them a long time and a lot of heartache and a lot of mockery and a lot of ugliness to forgive you of your sins. At least take some time to realize what your sins did to him. You know why you don't love much? You haven't experienced the depth of forgiveness. And when you watch somebody while the choir is singing, you watch somebody while something's going on, you can tell those who know who they are in the sight of God and they have done business with their sins. I want you to take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 7, if you don't mind. I told you I was about done. Luke chapter 7. I want you to notice even Jesus gave us some insight into what our emotions should be about forgiveness. He gave us some insight into how we should actually feel and what our attitude ought to be in life. Look at Luke chapter 7 and verse number 40. Luke chapter 7 and verse number 40. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence. The other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will, what does it say, love the most, him most. Look at verse 43. Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Look at this. And he turned to the woman and said, Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. And thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth what? Little. I tell you something, if you only take two steps into asking Christ to forgive you, and it's just words on a piece of paper, and it's just an acknowledgement of it, he'll still forgive you because that's what God does, but you won't get anything out of the forgiveness. There has to be a tie. There has to be a connect with God. And the thing that makes you love God is the fact he didn't reward you according to your iniquity.
Amen.
It's the fact that he didn't strike you dead when you had that thought.
Amen.
It's the fact that he didn't come down and wipe out your entire family like he did Achan when you sat on the accursed thing. Let me tell you something. When Christ died on the cross and that veil was rent, he put us into the mercy and he said, I'm no longer going to judge you according to the law. I'm going to judge you according to my mercy and I'm going to give you time to fix your issues.
Amen.
And you and I, the reason we can't love deeply is because we don't even take the time to realize how ugly our sins are and what our sins did. Do you realize he was mocked? Do you realize he was stripped in open shame? Do you realize he was beaten beyond recognition? Do you realize that he had no clothes on when he hung before the entire world? He became sin for us who knew no sin. You couldn't even look upon him. But yet we're like, yeah, well, you know, I accidentally did that wrong. And, you know, I just said that. That's who I am and got to deal with it. You know what we're like? We're like rich kids who know our daddy got money. And we know our daddy's going to pull out a credit card. And we know our daddy's going to go, okay, my kid did it again. Just put it on my account. And we are so reckless in our lives. And we break things. We hinder things. We hurt people. And then we simply go back to our rich spiritual daddy and say, well, you know, I know you got all the forgiveness and you'll just forgive me anyway. And we have no respect for what it cost him to forgive us of our sin. We have no depth of feeling of what it cost our Savior to die on an old rugged cross, and we live recklessly. I'm going to tell you why. Because we don't take the time to properly address what we've done wrong. And the reason there is no love, and the reason our churches are full of people who are like this. You hear words about the Savior in the song, and the preacher gets up and preaches his heart out, and it's like, words no longer mean anything. It has to be shock value. Whatever happened to the point where somebody could just say it up and sing Amazing Grace a cappella, sing it off key, and then all of a sudden our hearts are warm. It's almost like if we don't have the latest and the greatest, nobody responds. It's not the preacher's fault, and it's not the singing fault. It's the fact we have not experienced true forgiveness on the inside to the depth that we kiss Jesus and we hug Jesus and we are in awe of Jesus Christ. Amen. The psalmist is telling us here that when you go to experience the fullness of forgiveness, you ought to want deep remorse. Amen. You ought to want to realize the magnitude of your sins. You ought to be so deeply bothered by what you have become. And how could I do such things? That you ought to want the Lord to know that's not who I really am. May have been what I'd done, but that's not who I really am. If you want to cut the anchor loose and you want to start sailing in the Christian life and you want to get the most out of Jesus Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to take your sins and spend some time and go to the ugliness of what they are and what you've done and realize how long it took him to forgive. You know what he went through to forgive us, and then we're so quick just to move on. I want you to go to Psalms chapter 32, and I'm going to be done here in the next 10, 15 minutes. In Psalms chapter 32, when I came across this several years ago, I really started thinking about the words that are here and kind of dived into it. And it was very interesting here that when you experience the fullness of forgiveness, there's one little phrase here I'm going to give you in just a second, but look at it. When you experience the fullness of forgiveness, look at Psalms 32:1. Blessed. Look at that. Blessed is he whose transgression is what? Forgiven. Whose sin is what? Covered. Look at verse 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no God. You know what it says there? Blessed. You know what that's a state of? It's a state of giddiness. It's a state of something was just done good for me. It's the state of, have you seen my grandbaby? It's the state of, hey, I just bought a new car. You want to see my new car? It's that stupid grin on your friend's face when you see them and you go, okay, what's going on? Then you're not going to believe what happened to me. It's a blessed state. Can I ask you a question? How can we spend time in asking the Lord to forgive us and come out like this? He said that your joy might be what? Full. That you may have life and have it more what? Abundantly. Then you should never be caught without a grin on your face and God being good to you. Do you know the happy people walking around going, hey, it's pretty good today. It's good to see you. How you doing? That relaxed nature. You know what that is? It's a man who's been blessed by God because his sins are forgiven. But you don't get that kind of blessed state by a hit and run confession time and just a time that I have to acknowledge this to be a good Christian, because somebody's going to ask me, did you confess your sins? Yeah, I confessed them. When you get down to the ugliness of it, you'll fall at the feet of Jesus and you'll wipe his feet, you'll kiss his brow, and you'll be so in love with Christ that it's almost like a perpetual giddy state. Want to know why? Because my sins have been forgiven.
Yeah.
It's like getting a check in the mail. Right now I'm praying that our entire debt will be paid off. I'm not going for the next payment. I'm going for the entire debt. Going for the entire thing. They just redid our hallways there at the church. And they peeled everything off. And I found a place where they peeled it off that a deacon from the panel's been up since 1976. We just keep polishing it. Well, they pulled a part off of there, and on the back was written on the sheetrock right there, saying, I pray, and there was a prayer right there. I thought that's a 1976 prayer. You know what I'm doing? I'm going around spraying the national debt of our church all over the church, going, dear God, let somebody pay this off. I promise you, when I get a check that pays off that debt, I'm not going to tell anybody. I'm going to keep it to myself, and you will not know any emotion from Bob Gray that the debt has been paid off. Are you serious? You pay off my debt, I'm doing the happy dance. You know all them whoop whoop, I'm doing the whoop whoop. I'm doing the washing machine. I'm doing it all. And can I tell you something? You can tell a Christian that has been to the forgiveness altar and they have experienced the forgiveness of God. Because nobody experiences that forgiveness without coming blessed out. It's a happy, perpetual state of just giddiness. You don't have to work at being funny. You don't have to work at being happy. You don't have to work at getting along with people. We went to Steak and Shake last night. Brother Tony walked in, and this girl standing right there, and he walked up and said, can I borrow $5? And she's just looking at him like she's looking at him like he's lost his mind. You got $10 I can borrow you? And this teenage girl's just on her phone, just looking at him, you know, like, do you know how come that Brother Tony and other people can walk around, you stand there and you go to amazement? Well, I wish I had that kind of personality. It's not a personality. It's a blessed state. And you wonder why, how come I can't pull out of my Christian life? I'll tell you why, because it's a 2-second, took him mockery on the cross. It took him hours hanging in open shame. It took him going through the trial. What it cost him to give you forgiveness, you're not paying the same price to experience that forgiveness. And once you do, at the point of being blessed, if he doesn't answer the prayer about the debt of the church, I'm still a happy man. If he doesn't answer the prayer about healing for people that I love, I'm still a happy man. You want to know why? Because my sins are gone. Well, positionally, I've already been cleansed, so I don't need to do it again. Say that to your wife when you marry her. You know, we're together, we're married, positionally, we're together and we're stuck. We ain't going to be a good ride all the way home. David said this. Did I show my grandbaby? David said this. David said, when you experience forgiveness, and I'm headed somewhere, you'll be a blessed man. Look at the second thing that's said there in verse number 2. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. You know what that literally means? That you created the debt, but it didn't show up on your credit report. Everybody knows, going into the bank, saying, I want to buy a house, if you've bought one, or a car. And what do they do? They ask you for your Social Security number. So you sit there and go, 36872. Ha, you thought I was going to give you the last four, didn't you? And so they print. Now, let me tell you something. If the printer keeps going, That's not a good sign. Okay? If the lady says we had to put another ream of paper in, that's not a good sign. Let me tell you another not a good sign is when they sit across the desk and they flip and they're looking at it. It's your credit report, but they can't show it to you because of the reporting laws. Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard in your life? And they sit across there and you're sitting there like, dear God, I didn't mean to create that debt. Could you wipe it off that credit report right now? I know I was late 15 times, but dear God, please don't let it show up. And what you don't want them to do is look at you and go,
yeah.
And they circle. Then they flip and they flip and they flip. And then you don't want them to go. And they put an X by that one. And they flip and they flip. And then they stare. Then the thing you're just not wanting to hear is this. Could you give me explanation on these 85 pages why you were late? If you have to sit down and write an explanation why. Let me tell you something. Do you know what happens when your spiritual credit report's drawn? Now, there are some people who don't care about their credit.
Yeah, that's right.
They don't care. They go buy a car. I don't care what's on there. Yeah, I did it. So what? Yeah. But the people who care about their credit and their integrity, they're sitting there going, dear God, I don't want them to feel bad, think bad about me. I don't want them to think bad. You know what? When you experience depth forgiveness, when people look at your life and they pull your spiritual credit report, the debt you made never shows up in who you are. And God says this, you want to have that happy state, experience the depth of forgiveness. Now I'm going to show you one statement here that will help you do it. If you want to have the kind of forgiveness that the sin and the iniquity and the debt you created that should have made you the most horrible wanted person does not show up into who you are. The third thing he says here, and I like this, and here's to go back to that forsaking thing. Look at it. Look at the phrase there. And in whose spirit there is no what?
Guile.
Do you know what he's saying here? The thing that allured you to the sin that you can't keep forsaking. Do you know what he's saying? We come to God and say, God, I'm so sorry for doing that. I am so making a mess this morning. That's okay. I'm so sorry for doing that. And I'm so sorry for doing that. And you come to God, but because you didn't go all the way, you left a little bit of the allurement in who you were, and that's why you can't forsake it. Because you've not come to the ugliness of what that did to the Savior. And so we put it in our life and we think, oh, I've confessed it all. And what you did was you acknowledged it. Oh, I feel bad about that and I feel bad about that. And it's just a quick hit and miss, and you didn't take the time necessary. Took him on the cross. Took him suffering pain. Took him being beaten and mocked and stripped. But we want an eternal forgiveness relationship-wise with a 30-second prayer and acknowledgement. You will never forsake the sins in your life till you realize what the sins, although pleasurable, do to your body. I didn't get this way by eating vegetables. I got this way by eating sugar. And that's why you keep going back. When you actually say, God, I don't like what that's made me. It was pleasurable. I enjoyed talking about her. I enjoyed telling everybody about her. It was good to finally, with my words to her. But when you realize what it did to our Savior on the cross, then God says, when you get that kind of forgiveness, then you can empty out all the guile that's in your spirit. The reason you keep going back to it is because it's a hit and run confession, and we're no better than the Catholics. Father, forgive me for I have sinned. I have done this, this, and this. My son, go and sin no more. Thank you, I've done my confessional. You know what my mom told me? She was a Catholic, and I asked her about the confessional booth. She said, Bob, we would make up things. Because you had to go, and you didn't want to tell them the truth. Because the priest knew your mom and your dad. And you didn't like seeing the priest and your mom and dad talk. So you went and just made up things you knew your mom and dad would not bust you for. Let me tell you something, and I'm done with this. The depth of that forgiveness. How do you get to that happy state? How do you get to that state to where what you did is not show up in who you are? How do you get to that point to where the guile that is bringing you back and the allurement that's bringing you back now turns to an ugliness? Very interesting. Look at it if you don't mind, and I'm done. Here it is, verse 3. Are you ready? Here it is. When I kept, what's the next word?
Silence.
You know what David said? I sat down and kept silent about who I was and started letting it sink down into who I am. I took the time to think about my action, and look what it did to him. It so tore him up. He said, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night, thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. When is the last time your sin so bothered you that you couldn't sleep? When is the last time what you did and who you are so tore you up that you had to get alone? I mean, that knot in the pit of your stomach. That thing in you that was so wanted to throw up. I'm going to give you several things I think you need to ponder. Are you ready? That I think will help you get to the point of forgiveness. I think you need to take time every day, not just to confess your sins, but get alone with the Lord. Think about what you've done. Think about who you are. Several things. Number one, ponder the possibility, the possible shame of the sin. If we dropped the screen right here and we showed your thoughts on there, what kind of shame would there be? And listen very closely, nobody gets away with wrong. Nobody does. And when you feel about that junk on the inside, let me tell you, you know what God's saying? Let's get together about this, because this is really you. And if we don't deal with the shame here, we are going to deal with the shame down there. I don't want my wife and my children to be ashamed of me. So if I don't deal with the shame of my sin in private with the Lord, He's going to deal with the shame of my sin in public with my family, and in public with my children, and in public with my grandchildren. And then I'll lose that respect, and it will show up on my credit report. Ponder. Think about what that action will do to the people around you. Second thing, ponder the exposure of the sin. Ponder the initial shock of who you really are coming out. The shock. Have you ever been shocked? You ever been shocked to the point of disappointment? Let me tell you something. You and I better stop hitting and running at our sins and making it a quick 10-second acknowledgement to hope we get out. Let me tell you something. He went through the shame of the sin you did. He went through the mockery of the sin you did. He went through the his father turning his back on him for the sins that we've done. And for us not even to just take and let it sink down into who we are and go, good night. If that came out, and if people ever saw that about me, and if that came out, boy, what that would do, and oh, I can't believe it. Let me tell you, ponder the fact that you are that sin. Let's stop making it somebody else. You know, ninjas came in and stole that. I didn't do it. Somebody else had my computer. Wasn't me. Oh, somebody else had my bank account. Wasn't me. Oh, honey, somebody else took my credit card and bought that. I didn't buy that. Let me tell you something. This is the ugly truth. You are the last sin you did. You don't have a free pass. You are the last sin you did. And until we take the law of liberty and we look into it and we realize how messed up we are, we can never come to grips with who we are, and God wants you to fix it. But the silence and the alone time and getting alone with the Lord next, ponder the fact that Christ already knew you would do that sin and still loved you. If I told you right now, Bob and Angela, if I told you that, hey, I got a guy that wants to borrow your car, your van, but he's a thief, he's a drug head, he goes out and buys crack, and then he likes stashing it in vans, and, you know, really, he likes throwing wild parties, and but can he borrow your car? You would say what? No. But you know what Jesus Christ knew? He knew what we would do to our life, and He still looked at us and said, I love you, and I'll forgive you. That should bring you to your spiritual knees to say, What a God. What a God. And I'm afraid that the reason we don't love deeply is because we've not really come to grips with who we are and realize that a God in heaven knows who we are and He still wants to hang around us. How's the song go? Who am I that a king? Let me tell you something. When you and I get in, and all of a sudden the words of a song mean much more than just are we hitting the note right? Because when you spend time with the Lord and you come to grips with who you really are and you get it settled with the Lord in private, then all of a sudden you come out a happy, blessed man, blessed woman. And then when you realize that if I get it taken care of with the Lord and I come to the grips of the ugliness of what I've done, then it doesn't show up in who I am. I can go out and honestly not be a hypocrite, but be a sinner. I can honestly go out and try to be the best father I need to be and it not show up in my DNA. Why? Because what I did does not show up in who I am because it's been covered by the blood of Jesus and it's been put as far as the east is from the west. I'm done with it. And then the good thing about it is this, are you ready? Is that that's the only way I can get the vile wickedness out. I don't believe in sinless perfection. You are still going to sin. But Paul said this, let not sin reign in your mortal bodies. You will always be a sinner, but it should not be reigning. It should not be occupying. You should be able to look around and that thing that's on the throne go, good night, man. Get off the throne of my life. But it shouldn't be calling the shots in your life. Addictions are nothing more than a person not coming to the depth of their shame with the Lord and dealing with it with the Lord and spending the time you need to be to so wrench you and so get all the moisture of who you are out to where you just ball up and you cry and you say, God, this is not me. I don't want this to be me. Do you know what doing that with the Lord does? It keeps you away from the devastating sins that will simply destroy you. Because the more you deal with your sin, the more you're backing up from that edge. Because you're dealing with the sin before the sin takes you and destroys you. A man was looking for workers. And he put an ad in the paper, I need reliable, good truck drivers. Three guys answered the ad and he said, meet me at the cliff tomorrow morning. So all three guys showed up. He had his truck there. He said, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that can drive my truck without going over the cliff. First guy stepped up and said, oh, boss man, I can do that. You know, I can take your truck. I'm so good of a driver. I can take your truck and I can get within 6 inches of that cliff and you will not lose your truck. That's how good of a driver I am. Boss man goes, that's pretty good. Second guy, hey, boss man, I can do better than that. I'm such a good driver. I can drive your truck and I can get within 1 inch of that cliff and not go over. That's how good of a driver I am. Third guy didn't say anything. And the boss man said, hey, what about you? He said, well, boss man, I got to be honest with you that I would have to keep your truck 10 miles that way because I would go over. And he said, you're the guy I'm looking for. He said, I'm not looking for someone to see how close they can get to the edge. I'm looking for someone who see how far they can stay away from the edge. And you and I have to stay far away from the edge that would destroy everything we've worked for. And the only way you're going to get that done is to spend the time with the Lord. You say, how much time is it? It all depends on the sins in your life. But it's time we started shutting down some things in our life and got away from some people maybe and just started spending time with the Lord. We are so socially connected, it has cut the biggest social network out of our life, and that should be heaven, and that should be God. And everybody who is socially connected, please listen to me, I dare say that you don't spend that much time with God. Do you check in with God as much as you do your social networking? Phone goes off. Come on. Yep. Ding. Oh, I got to check my Facebook. Ding. Somebody Twittered me. Holy Spirit of God's right here going, you're a sorry bum. Just a second. I got to go talk to somebody. When's the last time you were so overcome with who you were that you had to disappear into a side room and get on your knees and just say, dear God? I am so sorry. When is the last time you shut life down? When's the last time you were sitting at a meal and realizing what you just did, what it's going to do to your babies, what it's going to do to your wife? He said, I'll be right back. He hung on the cross. The entire population. Quiet. His own father did this. But yet we want a, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. Have you noticed in our Baptist churches when people do come to the aisle, come to the altar during an invitation, that the children have their eyes open? Want to know why? Because they've seen their parents with their eyes open at the altar. I'm not saying here's where you need to do it, but here needs to be a starting point. And I'm not saying you judge the depth of a decision by what's at the altar. I am saying this, you judge the depth of a decision by what happens to you after you leave the altar. I'm going to ask you to start taking into account who you really are as a sinner. And one of the reasons we just don't love like we should love is because we haven't experienced the forgiveness. I don't think it's an accident. I'll end with this. I don't think it's an accident that he used the Ask Simon. Simon, guy owed 2 pence. Guy owed 500. Which one loved the most? Both were forgiven. He said, well, Lord, obviously, I suppose the guy who had the 500. Do you know what Christ is trying to say? Both were forgiven. And when you take 2 steps into forgiveness, I'm sorry, Lord, will you forgive me? You're forgiven. He's faithful and just. He'll forgive. It's his promise to us. Okay, thank you. And we walk right out. Versus the guy who takes 500 steps into the debt and realizes, I am so in debt right now that if I'll lose it all, and for someone to come up and pay the debt, I love you. And that's where we're at. I'm going to ask you, take those steps into who you are. The good thing about this is we're not a Catholic church. You don't need a man to forgive you of all your sins. You have a high priest. Where you would hold back telling a man, you don't have to hold back telling Christ. And that's the beauty of how this thing's set up. The sins you commit if you're saved will not damn you to hell. But the sins you commit that are unconfessed and you don't come to the fullness of those sins will absolutely destroy you before you get to heaven. Deal with it in here. So you don't have to deal with it there. You know why our boys leave here to go across the sea? Because we either deal with terrorism there or here. Well, we better deal with it over there. Do that with your sins. Deal with it here. And I promise you, once you experience that full forgiveness, you'll be a different person. Cut the anchor. Let your boat sail. God bless you.
Very good.
Let's get a songbook, turn to page 400.